The NFC North title is at stake when the Green Bay Packers meet the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. Can the Packers capture the division crown and bring momentum into the playoffs? We'll assess the situation with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for a game this weekend, a division championship crown at stake against the Minnesota Vikings. To help preview that game and assess the situation involving the Green Bay Packers as they currently stand, we have joining us on the phone this morning,
expert interview,
Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing today?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. Glad to have you back on the show. Hope you had a good Christmas. Nathan, if we look back at the Packers' last game here, I know it was difficult for me to assess the play of Aaron Rodgers when he was sacked 8 times against the Arizona Cardinals. How did you do it at Pro Football Focus, and how did he grade out?
This was the lowest grade that we've given Rodgers since his first year as a starter, and that was in large part due to the fumbles that he had. There are some times where a quarterback gets sacked and he's blindsided and about to throw the ball, and then you can't really expect him to have ball security in those situations. But in these cases, I think they were situations where Rodgers could have had better ball security and not fumbled the ball. So that's in large part why he graded so poorly. But even outside of that, he had an interception, which was pretty bad, and he almost had another interception on a screen pass. So his throwing wasn't too accurate. And yeah, part of that certainly the pressure he had. But even on plays where he wasn't under pressure, he was only averaging 5.5 yards per attempt, so a lot lower than he typically is when he's not pressured. So even though the pressure certainly contributed to his poor play, he didn't have that extra play even when the offensive line was doing its job.
Well, speaking of sacks, I know Don Barclay and Josh Walker did pretty poorly in place of David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga at the tackle positions, but how bad was the situation on the offensive line?
It was pretty bad. One of the statistics we have at Pro Football Focus is pass blocking efficiency, where we take into account how many sacks, hits, and hurries an offensive lineman allows compared to how often he pass blocks. So I looked at that for every offensive tackle over the past 8 weeks who had at least 13 pass blocks. And the worst for any tackle in a week was Josh Walker this past week at 69.2. The second worst was Don Barclay a few weeks ago against the Lions at 81. And then the third worst for any tackle in the league over these past 8 weeks was Don Barclay again this past Sunday at 82.5. And to give that some frame of reference, 100 would be perfect, not allowing any pressure. The best offensive tackles in the league are around 97 to 98 each season. And Justin happens to be leading all guards so far this year at 98.4. So it was one of the worst pass-blocking performances out of a pair of tackles we've seen in a while. But on the bright side, both players did fine in run-blocking, so it wasn't completely terrible.
Well, that's a small consolation, I suppose. Eddie Lacy is happy, if nobody else. You know, Nathan, I'm wondering if the Packers might have to use J.C. Treader at the tackle position this upcoming game. I know he replaced Josh Walker when, you know, after he exited. How did Treader do at tackle? Because he's a guy we've seen do well at center, but that's not his, you know, tackle isn't his normal position.
Yeah, I definitely think if one of the Packers' two starters is out at tackle, that Treader should be given more of a chance there. Obviously, it was a small sample size that we got to see him at tackle, so there wasn't too much to give an impression off of, but he only allowed one pressure on his 10 pass blocks. So even though small sample size, allowing pressure on 10% of pass blocks at tackle is better than allowing 18%, which is what Barclay was doing both in that last game and all year long when he's been playing, and then Walker, who was allowing pressure on about 50% of his pass blocks. So I don't think it can get much worse than it had been with Barclay and Walker. So I figure why not give Jeter a chance.
Yeah, it's not a good situation for the Packers. They have all their backups, I think, are interior offensive linemen. Although, to be fair, it's tough to find backup tackles, I think, in the NFL in general. But anyway, Nathan, once again, it sure seemed like the Packers wide receivers struggled to get open this past week, kind of a continuing theme all season long. It seemed like Davante Adams was one of the worst on the field, but what did the grade say?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Adams had three catches. Two of them went for a combined 5 yards. So those two catches didn't do much. So he only had the one impressive play, the 38-yard catch later on in the game. But then he had a penalty right after the play, which ended up hurting his grade some too as well. So, he also had a drop in this game, which brings him to 10 total on the year, which is tied for fourth most among wide receivers. So on a cumulative basis, we have Adams as the second lowest graded receiver on the year. But in terms of this game in particular and just receiving, we did give Aberderis a slightly lower grade since he also had a drop catch and he didn't have a strong play to help make up for it, like Adam said.
Yeah, I hope he can do better. I'm not exactly confident in that, but with the title at stake, I suppose that's all I'm clinging on to at this point. We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Nathan, on the defensive side of the football, what's been going on with Clay Matthews, who hasn't made a tackle in two consecutive weeks? Is there anything that sticks out these past 2 weeks with him?
I think part of the problem is, for one, the teams the Packers have been facing have been two of the top 12 teams in terms of their run blocking. So, he's had better run blockers trying to block him, and they've been successful at doing so. And then Matthews has been in position to make a tackle a couple of times, but he has three missed tackles over the past two games, which now brings him to 15 missed tackles total on the year, which places him 11th most among 3-4 inside linebackers and all 4-3 linebackers. So, part of it's a two-game stretch where he doesn't have a tackle, but he's graded rather poorly now over the past four games. So I'm not sure if anything in particular has been up with him recently, whether it's some sort of injury or something else that could be causing him to perform badly. But it's been a couple few games now that Matthews hasn't played the best.
On the positive side, I thought Mike Pennell might have had the best game of his young career this past week. Did he have his best game according to your grading system?
He was definitely one of the bright spots for them in this game. We graded him slightly better in the game against the Chargers earlier in the year, but this was his second highest grade that we've given him. He had his first career sack by our numbers and had a hit and hurry to go along with it. In the run game, a forced fumble and then a good tackle, as well as a couple plays where he was able to push back the center and disrupt the run in one way or another. So, definitely nice to see him perform well, both against the run and as a pass rusher. And not just him, but I think the defensive line in general has been a bright spot for the Packers this season. Everyone along that defensive line is doing better than they were last year, or in Raji's case, compared to how he was playing in 2013.
Yeah, Mike Daniels too, of course, deserves a lion's share of the credit for the good play along the defensive line. In the secondary over the past few weeks, Demarius Randle and Quinton Rollins have played big roles while Sam Shields has been out. How have these two rookies been faring in coverage?
Rollins has really impressed me recently. He didn't have any big plays in this game and allowed just a couple catches, but on the season as a whole, when quarterbacks have been throwing his way, quarterbacks have had an NFL passer rating of 59.9, and that's the sixth lowest in the league for cornerbacks, just behind some guys like Darrelle Revis, Josh Norman, and Patrick Peterson. So he's been playing really well looking at the numbers. And he's also graded out well against the run, and the rare time he's been asked to pass rush, he's done well there too. So he's been really impressive recently. Where Randall, on the other hand, he seems to be getting worse as the season has been going on. His five worst grades of the season have come over his last six games. So, and especially over these past two, he's allowed 12 of 14 passes thrown his way to be caught for 167 yards and two touchdowns allowed compared to just one interception. So while Randall definitely started the season strong, he's definitely tailed off a bit over this past month or so. So I would say at this point, assuming Sam Shields is healthy at some point in the near future, I would probably go with Shields, Hayward, and Ryland as my three cornerbacks in the nickel defense and leave Randall on the bench for now based on how he's been playing recently.
Man, I can see where you're coming. I don't know if the Packers will be willing to do that or not. It just seems like they'd be hesitant to put Randall on the bench. That's not saying that's what they should do. I'm saying that's maybe what they will do. We'll see. Be interesting. As the Packers get ready for the NFC North Division title showdown on Sunday, is there anything that stands out differently about this Vikings team from the last time the Packers played them back in November?
First thing to note is the Vikings, after that game against the Packers, lost all three of their star defensive players, this time with injury, which partially explains why they lost a couple games between the last time the Packers and Vikings played. But all three of them are back now, should be ready to go against the Packers since they were ready to go last week. Outside of that, Teddy Bridgewater is coming off of two of his best games of the season. So he's getting hot now, which is partially why they won by so much these past 2 weeks. And then I remember last time I was previewing the Packer-Viking game, I mentioned Xavier Rhodes was probably someone Packers could exploit in the passing game. But since the Packer game, he's been playing a lot better. He was allowing 51 yards per game coming into the Packer game, allowed 50 yards for the Packers, but since then he's only been allowing 31 yards per game. Also, he allowed six touchdowns before the Packers game, just one since then, and has five passes defended over the past three games. So the Vikings' weakest point in their secondary is now playing pretty well. So this looks like a team that's getting hot at the right time and should be fairly difficult for the Packers to beat.
It'll be interesting. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week and break this game down. Appreciate it as always, joining us on the show.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us here on Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning as we continue on with our analysis. There will be no episode on New Year's Day for the holiday. I'll be off, and what we'll do here is I'll try to do the best job I can kind of previewing the game, still kind of, you know, what are we, 4 days out, but I'll give you some of the keys to the game as I see them, and some of the things we kind of alluded to with Nathan Yonke, but, you know, I talked about it already. The tackles, I think that's going to just be a key thing to watch, and we don't really know what's going to happen there. Coming into this last game against the Cardinals, David Bakhtiari was on the inactive list coming into the game, so you know he wasn't going to play, and Don Barclay started in his place at left tackle. Then at right tackle, Brian Bulaga was seemingly doing fine, exited mid-game with an ankle injury of his own. So both these guys got ankle injuries, you know, and we know what happened there. We broke that down with Nathan. Josh Walker comes in, does poor. J.C. Treader comes in, does okay. We don't know where these guys are at right now. Mike McCarthy said as much on Mondays, like, I don't know. And we don't really know what, maybe get a better idea later today. But I wonder if the Packers have to go with J.C. Treader is not the third option at tackle off the bench, but the first option or the first backup option. Obviously, if Bakhtiari and Bulaga are healthy, they should be out there. Now, if they're not healthy, J.C. Treader might have to come in, whether it's left tackle, where it's right tackle, whatever it is, he may have to be out there, I think, and that's going to definitely be something to watch. I don't think J.C. Treader is really a tackle, but he may be better than both Don Barclay and Josh Walker. J.C. Treader, his best position is center. He may even be a better guard than he is a tackle, but he may be the Packers' sixth best offensive lineman overall once you get through the five starters. So maybe a situation where the Packers have to use him out of necessity. And if he just does a solid job, just does a job where he's, good enough to get by. That's all the Packers need. I don't know. Maybe Don Barclay could give him that at right tackle. He's definitely struggles with that speed off the edge at left tackle, especially protecting Aaron Rodgers' blind side. I even have my doubts about whether Don Barclay can get away with it at right tackle anymore. That's what we're hoping for. You get good play out of somebody there. I think it'll be key for the Packers to find balance on offense, and they did that their last game against the Minnesota Vikings. If you remember back to that meeting in November, Packers go into Minnesota and come away with a win. That was Eddie Lacy's first 100-yard game of the season. And I really thought that was a key, being able to find some success on the ground. And it wasn't like this great, fantastic game by Eddie Lacy by any means, but it was just good enough to keep the chains moving and keep the Packers offense and good down and distance situations, manageable situations, especially when they get into third down and things like that. So that'll be key, because I have little hope that the Packers passing game is going to click on all cylinders. And really, for me, it was the last straw going into this game against the Arizona Cardinals, especially without Tyrann Mathieu there for the Cardinals. I just knew coming into the game, I'm like, if they can't get it going now against a fairly decent team, in a stadium where there was perfect weather conditions, I can't see the Packers now having all sorts of success through the air, out in Lambeau Field, out in the elements when it's as cold as heck at this time of year. I mean, I don't, maybe it's not going to be below zero or anything, but still, you never know what it's going to be like in terms of precipitation, in terms of wind, in just terms of temperature. I mean, I have little hope that the Packers' passing game is going to break out. I hope that the running game does enough that they can just, have enough success in the passing game to get by. It was that first game, first meeting against the Vikings this year that James Jones had maybe his best game of the season. He's had a few good games this year, but he really had a good game. If the Packers continue to have success with him, I mean, that certainly helps. It seems like so much the success he has, though, is simply on those back shoulder throws. It's almost like they can't even do anything else with James Jones. I hope the other guys do good, but opponents have been, focusing their attention on taking away Randall Cobb because he's the only one who can do anything. But then they double team him, and it's so hard for him to get open. And Devontae Adams has just been so poor this year. I have no faith in him, very little faith at least. He showed, he had that one big 38-yard gain against the Cardinals last week that showed a little bit of hope, but it certainly doesn't come on a consistent basis. And maybe Jared Aberderis will play a bigger role. We'll see. But yeah, I think the balance there and having success in the run game is a necessity for the Packers to be, successful not only this game, but pretty much every game going forward. On defense, it's a lot about stopping the running game. Adrian Peterson, of course, is, the Packers did such a good job stuffing him in the first meeting. Mike Daniels was a monster as he's been most of the year. And we talked about the play of the Packers defensive line earlier in the show with Nathan Jahnke and how well they've been really doing as a unit. It certainly would be nice if the Packers could get B.J. Raji back from a concussion. He exited the game against the Cardinals. Don't know where he's at. But beyond these guys, the Packers can't, I allude to this on the show on Monday as well, Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers can't be silent. I mean, these are the guys who you're expecting to be the top players on defense, the Pro Bowl caliber players, the for Julius Peppers, perhaps a Hall of Fame caliber player. And you know, when Clay Matthews has zero tackles, when Julius Peppers has zero sacks, I mean, that's just putting pressure on the whole rest of the defense for other guys to come up big. And you know, I don't trust, you know, Mike Neal to come up big on a consistent basis, or you know, LaTroy Guyon to come up big on a consistent basis, or the guys in the secondary. They're not going to be picking off passes all the time. But I mean, you expect, even if they're not getting sacks, you expect Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers to be disruptive, to be getting pressure on the quarterback, to at least, even if they don't get the sack, to be applying hits on the quarterback, which add up over time. These guys were silent last week against the Arizona Cardinals, and there's been too many times where they've both been silent, you know, both players this season, you know, especially since the bye week. And it's not all the time, you know, they'll, you know, one of them will come away with a big game here and there. Julius Peppers had that big forced fumble against, I believe it was the Detroit Lions. And, you know, Clay Matthews, especially earlier in the season, was playing really well. Both the guys were early in the season, but they just can't sit there and be silent. You can't hear from these guys. These are the guys you expect to come up big, and maybe they will. That now that, you know, it's a big spotlight game, it's the nationally televised game, NBC Sunday Night Football, division crown is at stake. They want to take momentum into the playoffs. You know, maybe this is the time they rise to the occasion. These guys tend to do that in the past. I remember the playoff game last year, the division round playoff game. Julius Peppers had the fantastic performance, forcing the fumble on DeMarco Murray that was so big way back then. So maybe they kind of reprise that this Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. The Packers definitely need that to be the case for sure. Other, you know, keys for the game here. I think the play of the rookie cornerbacks is key on both sides of the football. For the Packers, of course, Demaryius Randle and Quentin Rollins, with the Minnesota Vikings rookie Trey Waynes, their first round draft pick. So a bunch of high round draft picks here. And how they play, I think, will be very important. With Demaryius Randle, as we talked about him earlier, he seems to have been struggling a little bit of late. Not huge struggles by any means, but here's a guy who was the NFC Rookie of the Month, Defensive Rookie of the Month. You know, so not all that long ago, you know, playing better than any rookie cornerback in the entire league. And it's now all of a sudden he's struggling as Sam Shields has gone out. And I don't know, maybe it's the fact that, you know, Demaryius Randle has now been tasked with covering basically the number one wide receiver on other teams, whereas before, when Shields was healthy, he was kind of, you know, guarding the number one guy, and Randle was kind of guarding the number two guys. You can tell there's still more there to learn for a guy like Demaryius Randle. Certainly an encouraging rookie season, doing good by most measures, but not fully there yet. Not this Pro Bowl caliber cornerback yet. Hopefully that's going to come with a guy like him, but it's not there right now. Those are some of the keys to the game. If you want a game prediction, I'm going to go Packers 24, Vikings 17. So touchdown margin in the game there. I do think the Packers are going to win. I think they're going to be the division champions. We'll handle the playoffs when it gets there. I'm not going to make any predictions right now beyond this. I mean, we already know the Packers are in the playoffs, so a week from now we'll be talking about who their next opponent will be. We don't even know who it'll be yet. It'll depend on the outcome of this week's game. The Packers could head to Washington if they lose. If they win, they'll either have a rematch with the Minnesota Vikings, possible they could face the Seattle Seahawks. Those are the three potential opponents the Packers have. We'll talk about them more next week, but bask in it now. Enjoy it. If the Packers do win, it'll be a fifth consecutive division title, NFC North champions. That is something to be proud about. It's not the be all end all. You want more than that, but enjoy that though. For a day, for a week, whatever, enjoy that. And we'll worry about the playoffs when they come. Continuing on with our next segment.
Packers news of the day.
Yesterday, in the past 24 hours, some of the news within the world of the Green Bay Packers, long snapper Rick Lovato, his contract details were revealed. He signed a 2-year contract with the Packers, giving him a little bit of security. Some guys were only signed, or I should, pointing to one guy at a mid-season signing, tight end Justin Perillo. He was only given a 1-year contract by the Packers. Kind of shows, how much faith they have in him. That's not to say the Packers couldn't re-sign him in the offseason, but it's not like they're thinking, oh, Justin Perillo, he's going to be a big part of our team going forward. He's kind of a year-by-year kind of basis type of guy. Rick Lovato getting a little bit more love here, getting the 2-year contract, which for the NFL minimum, both years, by the way. But it also kind of leaves open the possibility that he could be the long-term replacement at the long snapper position in place of Brett Goode, who, of course, tore his ACL, is now on injured reserve. But not only that, Brett Goode, an 8-year NFL veteran, his contract is up after this season. And again, that's not to say the Packers couldn't re-sign him. But, I mean, for a guy who's coming off injury, at the very least, we could be looking at a situation where maybe it's a competition next year during training camp. And Brett Goode, if that's going to happen, he's definitely going to have to get back into shape and get healthy by the time training camp rolls around. I mean, it's good in that he's been around for 8 years, so it's not like they probably really need him during the off season, OTAs, mini camp, all those kind of things. But Rick Lovato here, his future with the Packers could depend on how he performs the rest of the year. Now, all of a sudden, if he blows a snap, one goes over the head of the punter or the holder or whatever, that might be it for him. Packers might look for another long snapper to provide competition. But the 2-year contract does provide the possibility, the potential at least, that he could be the long-term replacement there. So his contract details revealed on Tuesday. In addition to that, the Packers made a minor roster move. They waived rookie linebacker Jamaria Rasko, who you might remember was with them. They signed him as an undrafted free agent, was with them for several months throughout the offseason, throughout training camp. During the preseason, he had 7 tackles and a sack. If you remember watching him then during the exhibition portion of the season. But then he suffered an injury in the last preseason game, and the Packers placed him on injured reserve as expected. With rookies, especially the undrafted guys, sometimes it's a case where they come to injury settlements with them and release them. Others, they will, hold on to them all year long in terms of like, oh, we'll give you another chance next year. And that kind of looked to be the situation they were going with Rasko. They've kept him on the roster or on injured reserve all year long. And then all of a sudden it comes to the last week of the season and they let him go. It was kind of curious timing. You're like, why did you hold on to him all season only to release him the last week? Maybe it's just because sometimes these agents might want a lot of money in an injury settlement, and perhaps the Packers thought they were asking for too much and be like, well, we're not going to give you an injury settlement. We'll just carry you on the roster until, you're healthy. And maybe that's what the Packers did. They release him now. I don't know. There's no comment from the Packers organization, so it leaves room for interpretation. But I'm trying to tell, these are maybe things, likely scenarios that could explain the timing of this move now. Rasko is subject to waivers, Another team could claim him. I don't know if they will. For a guy who was on injured reserve all season, it seems kind of a long shot that that would happen. But the waiver claim period ends at the end of the day today, so we'll find out his future a little bit better by the end of the day. Next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Wednesday, what we're looking forward to today is the first injury report of the week being released after the first day of practice of the week as they start to get prepared for the Minnesota Vikings and the upcoming NFC North Division title showdown on Sunday. So after practice, they'll release their injury report, and we're looking for a couple of players in particular. Alluded to it before. The tackles in particular, I think you're wondering, where are these guys at? Are they ready to come back? Especially a guy like David Bakhtiari. You're like, okay, they held him out last week. Maybe by now he's healthy and ready to return, coming off an ankle injury, you know, suffered now 2 weeks ago. Is he ready to come back? Brian Bulaga, is he ready to come back? Don't really know. We'll get a better idea today what their practice status is, limited, full, did they or not at all. In addition to that, defensive lineman B.J. Raji, who suffered the concussion, where's he at? Sam Shields, same thing. His concussion, though, now suffered going on, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Maybe he's finally ready to start coming back. Would certainly be help if the Packers had all hands on deck for this game. And it seems to be, you know, Mike McCarthy's comments during his Monday press conference, that's kind of what he's looking for. He commented the fact, we want to know what the health situation is so we can prepare the guys who are going to be playing. So, you know, when we practice all week long, we're giving the reps to the guys who are going to be out there on Sunday, because they're all invested in this, believe me. The Packers are not going to be looking ahead to the playoffs, you know, knowing they're already qualified. They want to win the division. And it's so key because, if the Packers win, it's a guaranteed home game. And that always means, you know, millions, tens of millions of extra dollars being brought into the Packers organization, for one, which is important if you want the Packers to be good and be around for a long time. But on top of that, the Green Bay community as a whole, you know, kind of depends on this money. So that is really important. Tens of millions of dollars at stake in this game, beyond just a division title, which is great for bragging rights and great that the Packers could bring momentum into the playoffs. But yeah, the home playoff game is key. I don't really buy or put too much stock into this. Would it be better if the Packers lose and face the Washington Redskins, because they're kind of viewed as the weakest division winner in all of the NFC? I don't, you know, going on the road to face the Redskins, it looks to me to be no better situation than having a home game at Lambeau Field against either the Vikings or the Seahawks, who the Packers have already beat both those teams earlier this season. I just assume have the home game, to tell you the truth, regardless of, you know, the money or anything. I think the home game is the better place to be, the home field advantage. So anyway, think the Packers are going to win, and enjoy it, folks. Like I said, this will be the last episode this week because of the New Year's holiday. We've kind of been on and off here with the holidays the past few weeks. I've been traveling, and it's just we're not going to have shows on Christmas or New Year's Day, national holidays. So hopefully after this, we'll have a nice long stretch where there won't be any breaks. So enjoy your New Year's, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the Christmas time. And enjoy the game this upcoming weekend. Hopefully the Packers will be the 2015 NFC North Division champions. We'll see you, folks. My call to action, as always, if you've not done so already, the one small thing we ask, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. It's the one small thing we ask in return from you. We'd really appreciate it if you do that. But that'll do it for today. See you, folks. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack. Go.
tell me.